Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Thanks for being with us today. President Trump visits Las Vegas today to pay his respects to the victims of Sunday night's shooting that left 58 people dead and hundreds of others injured. We still don't know much about the gunman or his motives, but according to Clark County Sheriff Joe Lombardo, he planned extensively for the massacre.
There was cameras located outside of the room and inside of the room, along with the firearms. I anticipate he was looking for anybody coming to take him into custody.
The massacre happened at the Route 91 Harvest Festival, a three-day country music festival that drew more than 20,000 fans to Las Vegas. That's the band Big and Rich you're hearing there, leading the audience in God Bless America before the shooting happened. John Rich is one half of that band, and later he talked about the massacre.
Country music is really a unique genre, I think, because of the relationship between the singers and the fans. You know, we hang out with them, we talk to them, and I would expect a really strong response out of all of country music. You got to pray for these folks, too. You know, people say our thoughts and prayers. You actually need to pray. You actually need to speak to the Lord and say, please bring some comfort to these people, because this is beyond the pale what has happened.
Several other country musicians have since come out calling for prayer and unity, but also divided on the issue of gun control. Kenny Alpin, who's the other half of Big and Rich, said he doesn't believe guns are the problem. I don't think it's guns or gun control, Alpin said. I think it's a battle over people's hearts. I think that's where the true battle line is. It's just the good and evil. Caleb Keeter, who performed at the festival with the John Abbott Band, wrote this. He said, I've been a proponent of the Second Amendment my entire life until the events of last night. I cannot express how wrong I was. And Roseanne Cash, who's the daughter of country music legend Johnny Cash, published an op-ed in the New York Times. She called on country artists to oppose the National Rifle Association. That was a controversial statement because the NRA actively courts country music fans to its cause with cultural and lifestyle marketing that pairs people's love of country music to their feelings about gun ownership. In fact, there's a lifestyle brand behind all this. The organization calls it NRA Country.
I love NRA Country.
We are NRA Country. We love NRA Country.
Jonathan Bernstein is contributing writer for The Guardian and Rolling Stone. He's been following the cultural influence of the NRA and its intersection with country music. And he joins me now in the studio. Jonathan, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Millions of Americans love country music. Millions of Americans own guns. There's some interaction between these groups, but they're sort of independent phenomenon. But then the NRA in 2010, as we mentioned, launched NRA Country. Why did they do this? What was the intent behind this lifestyle brand?
The intent behind NRA Country was this came at a time when I think the NRA looked around and they looked at their aging demographics and they saw that they needed to sort of change their ways or else their main audience base was going to slowly die off. So country music provides a really natural fit for the NRA for a lot of reasons. It has become increasingly in the past 10 years, it's become a really sort of youth-based market. It's more and more popular with young listeners, and it's very popular with female and women listeners as well. So the NRA was looking around and they're sort of doing a lot of things to figure out ways that they can attract new demographics, whether that's minorities, whether that's women, whether that's young people. And country music has sort of become increasingly mainstream and sort of almost suburbanized in the past 10 years. This is sort of mainstream commercial country music. But it still does have a sort of association with rural ideology or sort of small town mythology. So it was at the same time a very natural fit in terms of pop music, a more natural fit than, say, pop music, top 40 music, hip-hop, R&B.
You mentioned that the NRA was looking for sort of a softer side image, and a lot of the marketing of the organization, like in the 90s, was fairly alarmist, paranoid, urging people to get guns, buy guns because they needed to defend themselves, maybe even from the government. This is a very, very different attitude and approach now that you're describing.
Absolutely. If you sort of look through NRA Country's promotional materials, you will almost never see the word gun mentioned. You won't see the word firearm mentioned, Second Amendment. Every now and then you'll sort of – they'll interview a country artist about their sort of favorite gun. But that's – I would say that's the exception. You're much more likely to hear them talk about sort of things like patriotism or the American lifestyle or outdoor lifestyle or hunting. The basic lifeblood of NRA Country is this single promotion they have called the Featured Artist of the Month campaign. And that's sort of how they get these names associated with the NRA. And we're talking about, you know, people that are as big as Thomas Rhett and Florida Georgia Line, who are sort of – they can sort of sell out arenas at this point in country music. And so in general, what the NRA tries to do with NRA Country is they target young up-and-coming country artists who are sort of very eager to sell records. They haven't sort of established themselves in the business yet. And they're willing to sort of use the NRA's promotional channels to help sell them records. And so once a Thomas Rhett, you know, early in his career, partners up with the NRA Country for a promotional campaign, the NRA can then, a couple years later, once Thomas Rhett is playing, you know, huge venues and has the number one song in the country, you can go onto NRA Country's website and see that Thomas Rhett is an NRA Country artist.
And is that what's in it for the artists, distribution and promotion? I mean, if you ask the artists who have partnered with the NRA or performed at an NRA-sponsored concert, mm-hmm. are they ideological? Are these artists saying, yes, I want to push the agenda? Or are they just young artists who want a leg up?
If you ask the artists, they'll say, look, this is pretty much a no-brainer partnership for me. I grew up hunting with my grandfather and my father, and I support the NRA. It's a brand and an organization that I can get behind. One artist compared it to, you know, it's like partnering with a fast food chain. That's what they told me. You know, if you ask people behind the scenes, you know, when I wrote about NRA Country last year, I spoke to a man named Ken Leviton who works for Vector Management, which manages a large number of NRA Country artists in Nashville. And he's very clear that it's about selling records. I also don't want to overstate the sort of influence of NRA Country in the larger country music world, because there are many country music fans and even people who work in the industry who have never heard of NRA Country. And there are many big country artists who have nothing to do with it. Most country artists have nothing to do with it, to be right. clear. And I guess sort of the main point that I'd like to make about its influence is that NRA Country and the NRA has been much more eager in the past 10 years to sort of promote its partnership with country music than vice versa.
Is it just country music? Has the NRA tried this type of thing with other kinds of art, other kinds of music?
Not that I know of. I don't know. There's no NRA hip hop. There's no NRA EDM that I know of. But I do know that the NRA has tried in other ways to sort of target a variety of sort of young, untraditional audiences. In the past 10 years, I mean, there's an NRA women channel on NRA TV, which is sort of this almost sort of like their own TV network that they have online, sort of an online TV network. They have a show called Noir featuring a host named Colin Noir, who's this like young, attractive black millennial guy who hosts a show about the NRA. So there's a whole host of initiatives on the NRA's part to attract a number of untraditional NRA demographics. But as far as music, I've only ever heard of NRA Country.
Well, given what you've reported about NRA Country, it seems like the organization is on dual tracks here, maybe according to how old the target audience is. I mean, NRA Country seems to be really positive, a lifestyle brand, mm-hmm. isn't really focused so much on gun rights or the Second Amendment. I have been to NRA meetings. I've watched Wayne LaPierre's speeches. I think it's accurate to say they're fairly bellicose, fairly paranoid, and it's a very different message. And these two things mm-hmm. still go on coming from the organization.
Yeah, and I think that the reason that NRA Country is presenting the softer side and is trying to mainstream itself is because they know that the larger mainstream American audience and the mainstream country audience isn't ready or isn't interested in hearing sort of these bellicose messages for the most part. That being said, there are these moments of intersection between those two sort of tracks of the NRA. I attended an NRA Country concert myself last year in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It was at a thing called the Great American Outdoor Show, which is a sort of week-long, massive hunting and gun sort of trade show. And it culminated in a concert at an arena in Harrisburg, an NRA Country concert. These were just normal country acts that were performing at this concert. And in between acts, you had Wayne LaPierre on screen sort of shouting that same message. So there are these peculiar and very fascinating sort of moments of intersection between those two tracks of the NRA's messaging.
Roseanne Cash is a star in the country music world and came out in favor of gun control and really against the NRA. What was the reaction there? And what's the reaction for country artists who explicitly say they're not interested in this kind of thing.
So I think one thing that's really important to keep in mind for context is when we're talking about somebody like Roseanne Cash, who is a hero of mine. I love her music. Is that Roseanne Cash, yes, in many senses is an icon of country music and back in the 80s had many country hits on the radio. But she has almost zero to do with the world and the economy of mainstream Nashville country music right now. And what that mainly means is that she is never in a million years going to get played on country radio, which is the lifeblood of a young country singer who is trying to really make it as a mainstream country singer. But the environment historically in country music for artists who do want to get played on the radio has been that it's not an acceptable or remotely viable option or opinion to be sort of strongly anti-gun or strongly pro-gun control in country music.
At the same time, you report that some artists have been more reluctant to partner with the NRA since mm-hmm. Newtown and the massacre at Sandy Hook, and that some artists have been more willing to come out and make gun control statements since that time. How deep is that run? Will that continue here after Las Vegas?
Right. Yeah, I think that things in some ways are slowly changing. I think if I see the issue of gun control and guns in country music go in any direction, I see it almost sort of go in the direction of electoral politics in the sense that in the past, it's been a fairly safe bet to come out and stump for a GOP candidate in country music. That was not the case in 2016. It was to come out in support of either Clinton or Trump was a commercially toxic thing to do in country music, and no one really said anything. I see the issue of guns potentially heading more in that direction. It already has to a degree. Like you said, I spoke with some artists last year who were very frank and very upfront about the fact that they understood that partnering with NRA Country in 2015 or 2016 was a difficult decision and was one that involved a weighing of, you know, pros and cons. Drake White was one singer from Alabama who said, you know, I understand that this is a tough decision and I want sort of his words were, I want the single mother in Chicago who is pro-gun control to support me just like I want the man in South Texas who's for guns to support me. People understand that it's sort of a decision that they have to make already, and I think that decision is only going to become harder for them to make.
Jonathan Bernstein writes for The Guardian and for Rolling Stone, and you can read his coverage of NRA Country in The Guardian. Jonathan Bernstein, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
We asked the NRA to be part of this segment. They did not respond to our request. After a mass shooting, there's a familiar debate that fills the media in this country. We asked you, should we be talking about gun control?
This is Doris from Greenville, South Carolina. The right time to discuss gun control was after all the other mass shootings in this country. Shame on the White House for coming out with that statement. If the founding fathers of this country could see how the right to bear arms is being interpreted in the 21st century, I believe they would be horrified. The gun lobby in Washington has blood on their hands yet again.
We got this from Milton in Florida. We should never discuss major legislation in the wake of an emotional disaster.
My name is Stephen Beston, calling from Wilton Manors, Florida. If the Congress couldn't do something about gun control after dozens of children were killed in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, what is significant about this horrible event?
Samantha Georges from Louisville, Kentucky. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. I've needed my firearm. An arsenal to some people is 5 or 6 guns. I've got 7. So I think that gun control isn't the issue. Maybe more strenuous background checks, but even then, this guy didn't have a background. So it really is up to the person who owns the gun. And that's it.
My name is Maya. I'm calling from Chicago. Right now is an especially relevant time to discuss gun control, but we should also be discussing it in an ongoing fashion to put pressure on the NRA and on the lawmakers to enact strict gun control in the U.S.
Hello, my name is Brett. I'm calling from Omaha, Nebraska. Taking away the guns doesn't address the fact that if people want to hurt people, they can find a way to do it. They can do it with plumbing pipe, nails, fertilizer, and people will still be hurt.
What's your take? Is now the right time to talk about gun control? 8778-MY-TAKE to continue this conversation, or you can always go on our Facebook page.
The Takeaway is supported by AliveCor, working to make heart monitoring simple, continuous, and digital. AliveCor's cardia devices deliver EKGs and detect atrial fibrillation right from the user's fingertips from anywhere. More at AliveCor.com. and Staples, offering print and marketing solutions for businesses, including color copies and presentations, booklets and manuals, signage, and more. More details at Staples stores or staples.com/copy and print. Staples, it's pro time.